Now. Now is the time to harvest the light. Now is the season to rekindle the sun inside our hearts. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Essex Church, where this community of Kensington Unitarians has its spiritual home. We bid you special welcome this morning if you are a visitor here today, perhaps from other Unitarian groups around the country or from across the seas. Perhaps this is the first time you've walked into a Unitarian setting like this. It doesn't always look like this. But whoever you are and however you are this morning, there is space for you here. A chance to rest for a while and to reconnect with yourself, with others, and with that which you hold to be of greatest worth. So let's take a moment now to take a conscious breath. To tell ourselves that we are here now. Whatever the journey to get here has been like, however our last few days have been, and whatever awaits us in the days ahead, let's be here now, together, stilling our busy minds and hearts, finding an inner peace that connects us all. And let us harvest the light of being in community. And let us remember that we are one with our planet, orbiting our sun, our source of light. We light this chalice today, marking the turning of the seasons and in recognition of the inner light which continues to shine within us, even as the days start to shorten. May this flame ignite in us a glimmer of hope when in despair, a beam of clarity in times of confusion, a light of truth when disillusioned, a sparkle of warmth to spread throughout our communities, and a glow of light to lead us on our way. There are many stories that tell us the importance of being who we truly are, of not trying to pretend to be something that we're not. As I scan this room, I mean, between us, we've got quite a few years of experience, haven't we? And I'd be surprised if there were many of us who hadn't had the experience of trying to make ourselves into something that we're not. Maybe trying to squeeze ourselves into a relationship or even a family where we didn't really fit. Or working away at a job that made us uncomfortable or unhappy. One of my trying to be someone I'm not experiences involved trying to wear high-heeled shoes. This is not a sensible thing for somebody like me to do. And it ended in misery and on the floor. So I wonder when in life you've tried to squeeze yourself into an identity or a role that really just was not your shape. And it's not always easy to get out of it either, is it? Sometimes we need help. The world of stories has got several moving examples of how difficult life can be when we're stuck in a situation that's not right for us. Do you remember the story of the ugly duckling who was teased by all the other ducks for being too big, too grey, too fluffy, until one day, joy of joy, he was spotted by a group of swans who recognised him instantly and told him the good news. You're a swan! It's a special moment when we find our own kind in life, when we truly know we're among kindred spirits, when someone tells us, you're one of us. There's a story from India about a tigress who was attacked by a herd of goats This isn't a very nice start to a story, but I think it gets better. The tigress was shot by a hunter, and with her dying strength, she gave birth to a little tiger cub who was left behind with that herd of goats. And the goats accepted the tiger cub as one of their own. And so it grew up in the ways and the habits of goats. It ate grass, it learned how to run from predators, and it even bleated like a goat. Something like, nah. We can work on that later. But one day, a wild tiger from the jungle approached the herd, and when it pounced for the attack, to its wide surprise, it saw one of its own kind running away, bleating like the rest of the goats. It seized the bleating tiger, who stood paralyzed with fear, and the big tiger said, "Why do you bleat like a goat? Don't act like a fool. I'll show you who you really are." And so the big tiger took the little tiger to a nearby pond, and while bending down to the water, he said, "Look, your face looks exactly like mine. Now you can see that you're not a goat, you are a tiger." And upon seeing the reflection of his face, the tiger got the shock of his life. And yet at the same time, he felt oddly familiar in the company of the wild tiger, and already he could feel that something in him was changing. And the big tiger said, "Come with me. I will teach you how to behave like the tiger you really are." And the little tiger followed him to the jungle and in due time learned to behave like his true self. And that's the story of the little and the big tiger and the deliciousness when we actually find ourselves in the company of like souls. So as we enter a time of shared prayer and reflection together, may the divine spirit of life and love be with us now and bless this time that we spend together. And as we gather in this place of worship with harvest gifts aplenty, as so many generations have done before us, may our hearts be filled with gratitude. Grateful that we have food to eat, places to live, fresh water to drink. And perhaps most of all, let us be thankful for those most precious gifts, those gifts of life and love. This autumn, let's give thanks for the abundance of our natural world, for the crops of the harvest time that delight us with their plenty. And may each of us find something for which we can give thanks each and every day of our lives, however tough the road we must travel. And as our planet slowly but steadily moves our northern lands towards a time of less light, may we find ways to keep our light burning within. Through hobbies, through work, through connections with one another, through cozy homes, however simple. And as we hear the troubles of our wider world, especially all those affected by the civil war that is raging in Syria, by ongoing sectarian violence in Iraq, for all the people of the Middle Eastern region who yearn to live in peace, and all those suffering and dying through migration, seeking better, safer lives, let us be the people who hold hope in our hearts and who, by the beauty of our own lives, bring some counterbalancing acts of love into our world. At this turning point of the year, let us find ways to rebalance our own lives And may we this day know a love that transcends all human limitation, a love that fills us and spills from us and connects us, one and all. And may this be so for the greater good of all. Amen.
On an aeroplane recently, I sat next to a science teacher from San Francisco. 24 years old, flying east for the first time, the young man was eager to experience autumn. He'd never seen leaves change colour. He went on and on about this. In pictures, some of the leaves look red. I just can't believe they could turn bright red. I, meanwhile, was trying to write a meditation for Sunday morning along the lines of appreciating the glory of the beauty that is ours at this time of the year. I wanted him to pipe down, but no, he continued with his incredulity, his delight, his boyish anticipation of the prospective spectacle. I couldn't imagine the young science teacher happier than he already was. But as he spoke to me of his plan for his friends, he really began to glow. He had decided that he would choose one special brilliantly coloured leaf for each friend and make a little gift of it when he returned home in 6 weeks. Teacher of science though he was, he hadn't learnt that bursts of splendour never last. He was too young, I guess, and too giddy, and I couldn't tell him. Spirit of transient joy, spirit of utter delight, our hearts are often anguished and bruised. May we embrace your glorious moments as if they were forever. And if we be too innocent, may we be gently forgiven. And so, let's move into a quiet time, a meditation for the autumn equinox, which occurred on Thursday. Our spoken meditation will be followed by our choir singing John Rutter's arrangement for the beauty of the earth. And then, when that comes to an end, let's hold a few minutes in the fellowship of silence together, which will be ended with a chime from our bell. So I invite you to get yourselves comfortable. Put down anything that you don't want to hold on to, and maybe close your eyes if you wish. Enjoy your sense of your feet connecting to Mother Earth. Take a restful breath and enjoy a feeling of release as you breathe out. Now day and night are of equal length. Light and dark are perfectly balanced before we tip into the dark phase of the year. At the autumn equinox, the emphasis moves from outward achievement to inner reflection and contemplation. The autumn equinox reminds us to balance all parts of ourselves, the active and the passive, the known and the unknown, the outer journey and the inner journey, the seen and the unseen, the logical and the intuitive, the conscious and unconscious. From this place of balance, new doors may open, new directions and possibilities of beauty may be revealed. In the fellowship of stillness and silence, I invite you to consider what might helpfully be rebalanced in your life this autumn.
If you look at today's order of service, you'll see that this bit of the service is called Some Thoughts on an Invisible Marrow. And it's called that because we are marrowless this morning. This is the best that I could do. For those of you who are listening to this service, sometime in the future, I'm now waving what might best be described as a good-sized courgette. I've been looking all week for a giant marrow to adorn our Harvest Festival display. But in West London, marrows are hard to find. They don't sell them in supermarkets anymore, and the local farm shop said there was no call for them, and would I like a few courgettes instead? And it's really because of the invisible marrow that we've produced a special set of orders of service for this morning's service. There are 8 different pictures, all of men clutching oversized vegetables and looking rather pleased with themselves. As Unitarians, we try to avoid any gender stereotyping, but it does seem to be the case that those who identify as male seem particularly to enjoy growing giant vegetables and then boasting about it online. If we did have a giant marrow with us today, I'd be using it as an example of the way that popularity waxes and wanes. Last week's service featured Taoist philosophy with its concepts of yin and yang and a universe of constant change. The humble marrow, much beloved of Victorian cooks, the marrow stuffed and eaten by families through the centuries, is now a vegetable of the past. Its glory days are over. Although clearly not on the allotment where this one was grown. That's the biggest marrow I've ever seen. If we did have a giant marrow, it could help us all to think a bit more about the food we eat and how little of our food is now seasonal. For fruit and vegetables can be flown across the world for us to enjoy spring, summer, autumn, winter. Yet do you have a bit of a yearning, like me, for the foodstuffs that still only arrive at certain times of the year? The Spanish satsumas at Christmas, with Seville oranges for marmalade making in January. For English asparagus in May and June. For peas in their pods and strawberries at Wimbledon time. The economically fortunate can have whatever we want to eat, whenever we want it. I was amused to hear someone in the fish counter queue before me yesterday complaining that there was no samphire to buy. Oh dear. You see, I think it's healthy for us not always to be able to buy what we want. Let's treasure those few items that do appear seasonally. They do remind us of our connection with our turning world. The marrows, the conkers, the blackberries growing in hedgerows, the Michaelmas daisies, which we have in plenty with us today, and the leaves, just starting now to change colour, starting to fall to the earth. They help us to remember that our lives too have their seasons, that nothing does stay the same on our spinning planet Earth home, though at times we might wish that it would or it could. So perhaps marrows don't have much of a place in our modern world, except maybe being the star of a Harvest Festival service. But they have some other things to teach us. They teach us that the purpose of existence is to grow and to develop and to use all the space around you and all the nutrients available to you and to really go for it, to expand and not stay small and neat and tidy. It's okay not to fit in or to all look the same. It doesn't matter whatever shape or type we are, our purpose is to find out who we are and then live well into that identity, allowing ourselves to change and develop in response to life, nothing staying the same. We have to value ourselves and assign our own worth in this world. Only we can really say, I think, what our lives are about, what our purpose is, what we value and hold dear. The marrow may not be popular, but then maybe that's the way it wanted to be. The rogue vegetable, appreciated only by few. The courgette that wanted to grow large, as they say. So may we be people who feel free enough to grow spiritually and emotionally to our fullest extent. It would be such a dull world if we all stayed the same. Yet we live in a world, don't we, that seeks a certain amount of conformity. We live in a world that too often judges us for our looks, our clothes, our possessions, our friends and families, our homes, our cars, our qualifications, our conversation, our wit, our level of fitness, our hobbies, our artistic skills. And too often, we too may be judging others in these ways, or we may be comparing ourselves with people, trying to keep up with the Joneses, trying to be better, trying to have more. No, it takes courage to truly be ourselves, to find our place in the world and inhabit it fully, to grow to our full extent and to be us and not try to be someone else. And it takes courage and a certain amount of resilience to encourage others to truly be themselves and not try to change them when they don't fit our way of thinking they should be. So may we be the sort of people who don't pressure ourselves or others to fit in or conform. Let's instead delight in uniqueness. Let's celebrate our richly varied world, where I really believe each of us has something to offer. And as for our congregation here at Essex Church, like that marrow, the invisible marrow, may we be unafraid to grow and to reach our full potential. And of course, marrows on their own can be a little bit bland. They need those herbs and spices and flavours added to make them into a tasty meal. And churches can be bland places if we don't have diversity. We need a mix of people and talents and ideas if we are to create together a rich and vibrant community. And we need to be truly welcoming to people who are not just mirror images of ourselves. Churches also need an outward focus. We need to be the ones who are speaking up for and taking action in order to create a fairer harvest for the world. I think that's a worthy aim for us all. Yep, it's all well and good growing giant vegetables, but perhaps it's even better to dedicate ourselves to building a world of justice, acceptance, and love. Amen. And speaking of building that better world, our collection today is going to the Red Cross Clara Barton Fund. This is a specific fund that Unitarians set up. It's already raised £75,000 for humanitarian causes, particularly in Syria. And also the current European refugee crisis. So let's give as we feel able today. So let us dedicate ourselves in the week ahead to building a way of living where people can be who they truly are and where the harvest for the world is distributed with justice and compassion, where life's great gifts are fairly shared. Then we humans will fulfill our great potential. A present, but a seed awaiting germination. Amen. Go well and blessed be.